Tonight we'll talk about the sicha of the Shabbos before, which is Tazria Metzora. Especially as it's very unique in the sense that Tazria Metzora, Achrei Kedoshim and Emor, the Rebbe actually starts the Fabrengen referring to the fact that this is that these talks are in continuation of what was discussed before. So actually the first words in the Sicha, as it's printed, Tazria Metzora is Behemshech Lahamadubba Mudgish B'Yesu B'Zmana Achra Mamash, is in continuation of what has been discussed and emphasized, especially in the most recent times, about the need for the efforts of each individual to do everything dependent on him in order to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Peil Mamash, Tekef U'Miyad Mamash. And it says in the footnotes, the Sikh of Chav Chesnes, see the Sikh of Chav Chesnes, and see the Sikh of Parsha Shmini. So that's one of the things that's unique about the Sikh. And another aspect is that the Rebbe pretty much addresses, directly or indirectly, just about every single question that could possibly come up in connection with the Sikha of Chav Chesnes that the Rebbe spoke. And actually, if you really analyze the Sikha, you see that the Rebbe addresses every single question that could possibly come up and has possibly come up ever since. But basically, so in order to really appreciate what the Sikha is about, since it says it's clearly in continuation of what came before, so we need to actually go back to the Sikh of Chav Chesnesen. In the Sikh of Chav Chesnesen, the Rebbe spoke at length about the special connection of the time, which was at the end of the month of Nisan, the connection of the month of Nisan to Geula, and the connection with Sphira, and so on. So the Rebbe spoke about the connection with Geula at great length, and then he concluded that based on everything that we said about the special emphasis of the subject of Geula in this time, so this brings up the shocking, the tremendously shocking question, how is it possible that despite all this, they still have yet to accomplish bringing about the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu B'Peil Mamash, something which cannot be understood at all. There says an additional shocking question that comes up is that 10 Jews gather together, in fact many tens of Jews, in a propitious time for redemption, and so in all they don't make a tumult about what needs to be done to bring about the coming of Mashiach immediately. And not only that, it's not even out of the question for them, may Hashem protect us, that Mashiach should not come on this night, and that he should not come tomorrow, and even 2 days from now. How could this be? Then the Rebbe goes on to say that even when they scream and shout, Ad Mosai, that's only because they were instructed to do so. But if they really intended, and they really would be asking and crying out, Bahamas, certainly, absolutely, Mashiach would have already come. So the Rebbe says, what else can I do in order that all of the Jewish people should make a tumult and cry out, Bahamas, for real, and accomplish that they're bringing the Mashiach B'Pail, after everything that was done till now did not help, and the proof is that we're still in Golos, and especially in an internal Golos in matters of the service of Hashem. So the Rebbe concludes, the only thing that I can do is to give over the matter to you, do everything that's in your power. The Rebbe says, what type of things? Things that are in a manner of the lights of Tohu, but in the vessels of Tikkun, in order to bring in actuality Mashiach Tzidkenu, Tekef U'Miyad Mamash. The Rebbe says, Yehi Ratzon, may it be the will that that ultimately there should be found 10 Jews that will insist stubbornly that they are absolutely compelled to work, to accomplish by the Eibishter, and certainly they will accomplish by the Eibishter, as it says that for they are a stiff-necked nation, which Chassidus explains that this is a positive trait that the Jewish people have, and therefore you should forgive our iniquities and our sins. So therefore they will, Yehiratzin, that these people will decide that they have to and they will accomplish bringing the Geula, the Geula Mitzvah Shleima B'Pei Mamash, taken from Yad Mamash. This is in order to speed things up even more. Through an action on my part, I will add and give each individual of you a Shlichus Mitzvah to give to Tzedakah. Since great is Tzedakah, that it brings close to redemption. So the Rebbe says, the final thing that Rebbe says is, I did my part. From now on, you have to do everything that's in your power. Again, that ever concludes, Yehi Ratzon, that there should be found amongst you one, two, or three that will come up with an idea, will come up with a plan, with an etzah, what to do and how to do. And the main thing being that they should actually accomplish that we should have the Gula Mitzvah Shleim Peil Mamash, take it from Yad Mamash with the Simcha V'Tuv Levov. So this was the talk that the Rebbe gave on Chav Ches Nisan. In the week following, in Parashat Shmini, the Rebbe addressed the issue of how is it in the power of each individual Jew to bring about the Geula. And the Rebbe spoke in Parashat Shmini, he spoke based on the idea that in a year, that it says Shmini Shmeina Shmeina, that in a year that we read Parashat Shmini 8 times, that in such a year we it's a fat year, it's a year that the great blessings begashmias and baruchnias. So the Rebbe used that as the springboard for the discussion, but basically the point of that sikha was that at Matan Torah every Jew is given the power to bring down infinite light through the Torah and Mitzvahs. Every Jew has the power to bring down infinite light into this finite world. So that being the case, so certainly every Jew has the power to, by adding in Torah Mitzvahs, every Jew has the power to bring about the Geula, which is the revelation of God's infinite light in this finite world. That was much more general, a much more general idea that every Jew has the power to bring about the Geula. So that the Rebbe addressed in the week previously. And here, in this week of Tazria Mitzvah, the Rebbe addresses a number of other points that he brought up. Even though, again, the sikh is built around a discussion of the connection, the first thing that Rebbe says at the beginning of the sikh is that since this is the topic of conversation is that every Jew has to do everything in their power to bring about the Geula. So in continuation of that, the Rebbe says, especially since in our times, all the endpoints have already passed, and certainly Mashiach is coming immediately, and everyone will be able to point with their finger and say, behold, Mashiach comes, or it has already come. The moment previously, the Rebbe says, therefore we have to explain the connection between all the things of that week's parsha of Tazria Mitzvah with the Geula and the effort of each individual Jew in bringing about the Geula. So the Rebbe, in the Sikha, the Rebbe says he's going to address especially the Torah subjects that are related to this, to that Shabbos. So one is the Parsha of the week, the other is the second chapter of Pirkei Avos, which you learned that week, and also in connection with the time, the month of Iyar, and the days of the Sfira, and so on. So that was the basis for the Sikha, was to discuss the connection with the Parsha, the connection with Pirkei Avos, and the connection with the time. But the main point was how did the lessons to take from all of these things, as how it relates to Geula and it relates to each individual's role, each individual's job, in terms of doing what it takes to bring about the actual Geula. So instead of going through the whole sikha, all the questions, and how the Rebbe resolves all the questions on the parsha and so on, what I'd like to do is actually work it back the other way. Let's talk about some of the questions that come up in connection with the sikha of Chav Ches Nissen, and then we'll see how the Rebbe actually addressed those questions. So the first question that really comes up is that for the average person was the question that the Rebbe did address in the first week, which is basically, who am I and what am I? How could we understand that the Rebbe is the one that could bring about the Geula? What is it? Where do I have the ability? Where do I have the power? How could I be charged with the responsibility of bringing about the Geula? Who am I and what am I capable? The next obvious question, which comes up, is that, I mean, or the same question becomes even stronger when you look back in terms of the history of the Jewish people. In the history of the Jewish people, we have a tradition that in earlier generations, the Jewish people were spiritually on a much higher level. We don't just have that as a tradition, we just can look back and see pretty readily that in many ways the Jewish people of earlier generations were on a much higher spiritual level than we are. So it seems even stranger to say that, first of all, in general, how does it fall to each individual Jew? And secondly, especially considering the times that we're living in, if you look back, how could it be that the people of our generation specifically could be charged with this mission if we're on a much lower spiritual level? Other question that often comes up is that in the middle of that sikha, where the Rebbe said, do everything in your power, he threw in a strange term. He said that what kind of things should you do? You should do things that are in matters of iris to tayu, lights of from the world of tayu, but you should do them in a manner of kalim the tikkun, vessels from the world of tikkun. So, the obvious question, and it's a question that people are still wrestling with, is what exactly does that mean? To do things that are matters that are lights of Tayu, but to do them in vessels of Tikkun. Another question that people have is, what about the fact that there's opposition from the world around us? It's not like the topic of Mashiach is something that's readily accepted. It's not like the topic of Mashiach is something that's readily embraced by everybody. And in fact, particularly amongst other religious Jews, there's a lot of resistance. So what about the opposition that exists in the world out there to the whole topic? What do you mean that you're going to try to get everybody to make a tumult that Mashiach has to come, and to get everybody to want and demand, to really, really want and demand that Mashiach should come? There's a lot of opposition, there's a lot of resistance. The other question that people had that came up, especially as in the week before this sikha was set, there was a gathering, and one of the things that they concluded at the gathering to do is that everybody should sign that they accept the Rebbe as Mashiach. So, but at the same time, so basically what happened was like this. There was a fellow who came up with this idea that the Rebbe said, do everything in your power. So you know what? He's going to get together a bunch of signatures to people who are going to crown the Rebbe as Mashiach. So he sent in the signatures, and the Rebbe said, I'm sorry, I don't see here. The response from the Rebbe was, I'm sorry, I don't see here any mention of what you're going to do. I only see here that you're writing to me about me. I don't see here that you're writing, I don't see anything on this paper that says about what you're going to do. So this was, this is actually a shliach from Italy who did this. So when they came to 770 and they had this meeting where everybody got together to discuss what we need to do. So basically, what people concluded was, not that everyone say he was opposed to this sending in of signatures, the accepting him as Mashiach. What he didn't like about it was it doesn't say anywhere that you're accepting upon yourself to do everything that's necessary in order to bring about the coming of Mashiach, which is what the Rebbe instructed, what the Rebbe charged us with. So basically what they did was they came up with they changed the wording, and the wording said, they came up with a wording that says that we, the undersigned, accept the Rebbe as Mashiach, and we accept upon ourselves to do everything in our power to the point of Mesiras Nefesh, of the Chiddush HaBenefesh, to do everything that's necessary in order to bring about the complete Hizkalos and the coming of Mashiach. So what happened was that almost everybody who was present at this gathering signed, not everybody signed, but many, many people signed. And this letter, when they sent it into the Rebbe not only accepted it, but the Rebbe gave strong words of encouragement. So,
what were the words?
The question became, so it seems that the Rebbe accepted this idea that on the one hand, that there's an aspect of acknowledging and recognizing the Rebbe as Mashiach and accepting the Rebbe as Mashiach, but that is not instead of doing everything that you need to do, doing everything in your power. That doesn't absolve you. That doesn't, you haven't fulfilled and discharged your obligation that the Rebbe gave you to do everything in your power. But it's only meaningful if it goes together with the recognition and acceptance of the fact that you have to do everything in your power. So, which raises the question. So, how do those two things go together? The point is that, okay, we accepted you as Mashiach now, so if you're Mashiach, so if the point is that you're Mashiach, so okay, you do whatever you have to do and then take us out of Golos. On the other hand, if the point is it's up to us, so people will say, if it's up to us, then what's the point of talking about who Mashiach is and accepting the Rebbe as Mashiach? It's up to us. We have to do the work. And so who says that's a part of the work? So actually, if you knowing that that's what happened that week, and you look at the Sikh, you can see that Rebbe is clearly addressing the content of that petition that was signed. That was clearly addressing the content, the idea that on the one hand, understanding the role of Mashiach, and how that instead of, not only doesn't it absolve you of the work, but by recognizing who Mashiach is and the role of Mashiach, it actually, it goes very well together with the idea of that the job is up to you. And again, that's another question that the Rebbe addresses. The other question, so that's the obvious question people have. If the Rebbe is Mashiach, so what does it mean that I have to do? And if the others who say have the question, if it's up to me to do, then why is it important? Why is it even relevant to talk about who Mashiach is? The other question that there are a number of more questions. The point is, any question you can think of, if you think of one while we're sitting here, tell me and I'll show you how the Rebbe basically covers it in this sikha. So first off, the whole idea that every Jew has the power to, and especially the Jews of this generation, and how all that it relates to Eris the Tayu and Kalim the Tekken, which was the Rebbe referred to. So the Rebbe explains, I'm not going to go through all the questions that the Rebbe raised on the Parsha, how to explain, but basically the Rebbe explains that the spiritual content of the Parshas of Tazria and Metzera, as it relates to Geula, is that it's brought in Svarim, starting with Ar HaChaim and others, bring that the Pasuk Ishaki Sazria V'yalda Zachar is referring to the is alluding to the birth of Mashiach V'yalda Zachar, and she gives birth to a male child. That this is the reference to the birth of Mashiach, and the Rebbe explains that Ishaki Sazria, that Kisazria alludes to the work of the Jewish people in Golos, which is compared to planting, which is also called Zria. And this is actually what brings about the birth of Mashiach. And also that these parashas deal with the issue of a Metzaira, which is related to the topic of Geula, because Mashiach is referred to as a Metzaira. It also refers to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as the Chazal say is alluded to in the tzaras of homes, in which you destroy the home, and then you can, and only then can you rebuild it. So the Rebbe explains the concepts that in the parashas of Tazria Metzaira as relates to Tzaras and the purification process, which alludes to redemption, that the Rebbe explains that Tzaras is actually, at its source, is very lofty lights, very high spiritual lights, and the person who is afflicted with this is himself a person who has achieved a very high level of perfection. Such perfection that the only flaws that he has are completely superficial, only on the outside of his skin. So he has completely rectified and perfected his entire being. That's why it says Adam ki yiyeh ba'er psarei, because he's an Adam, alludes to a person that's on a very high spiritual level. It's a person who has achieved such a level of perfection that the only blemishes he has is an extremely superficial, only on the outside of the skin. And the Rebbe says, adds that the fact that it's called a nega, that nega is related to the word touching, means that even, the Rebbe says, first of all, it says in the pasuk, Adam kiyiyah. Kiyiyah means it will happen to be, meaning that it's not even his permanent state. It's something that happens out of the ordinary. And also it says, it's referred to as a nega, which means to touch, meaning it's not just superficial on the outside of the skin, but it's so superficial that it's only like touching him. It's not part of him. Al-Dareva says that this is the idea of Tzaras, that it's talking about this person who's on a very, very high spiritual level. The Rebbe says, what's the connection? On the one hand, he says these are very high spiritual lights. On the other hand, he says that it's still a form of a blemish, even though it's only an external, superficial blemish. So how is it that very lofty spiritual lights manifest as a blemish? So the Rebbe says, because there are such great lofty spiritual lights, and he hasn't made himself, because these lights are so high, so if you haven't made the proper suitable vessels for these very high lights, so what could happen is, the way we experience them is as a negative, because they're so high and they're so concealed, so you have to make vessels, proper vessels, in order to bring them down. You haven't completed the process of making the proper vessels to bring down these very lofty lights. So the way they manifest in our world through the process of what's referred to in Kabbalistic terminology as the nourishment of the outside forces, because it's so high and so hidden and so concealed. So if they aren't the proper vessels for it, it can manifest as something negative. In fact, Siddhas explains, that is the concept of Golos. The concept of Golos is that actually the state of Golos is in which there are much higher lights that are being expressed. The problem is that the source of Golos comes from much higher spiritual lights, but these higher spiritual lights are so elevated and so concealed, even even the description of what takes place at the time of Golas, in terms of the that at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it says that the Eivishter retreats and goes higher and higher. Now the point is that the actual ending of Golas is the same thing as Tzaraas. That these are very, very high, lofty spiritual lights. They're so high that they're so hidden and concealed. And Geula is actually the revelation through the work that we do in Golas of creating the proper vessels. Geula is the revelation of the lights of Golas themselves. The lights of Golas, when we have the proper vessels, those great lofty lights are revealed down here, and that is Geula, that is redemption. Redemption is actually taking the Golas itself, the very high, lofty lights of Golas, and revealing them in the world. That's our job. Rebbe explains that that's why it says about the Tzaraas, it refers to Zoistia Teiras Hamatzera, B'Yom Taharasa. It's called Yom Taharasa, the day of his purification. Because the day alludes to revelation, that the process of purification of the Mitzvah is simply revealing the great lights that are inherent in the Tzaraas itself. It's not about bringing something new. It's not that the state of Golas is such that you have to bring something new here into the equation. No, the point is these great, the Golas itself is a manifestation of these great lofty lights that are so high, that they're so hidden and concealed, and they manifest as darkness, because if you don't have the proper vessels for it, it can't come down in a revealed way. So the job of Golas is bringing those very lights down in a revealed way. So that explains, what does this mean in a person's individual avodah? What's the way of understanding this in a person's individual service of Hashem? The Rebbe explains that this is what's referred to in Kabbalah as lights of Tohu and vessels of Tikkun. The lights of Tohu are considered are very high, lofty lights that are not contained in vessels. So what this, when a person is reaching up, is trying to connect to these higher lights that are not contained in vessels, what it does is it arouses in him a state of what's called ratzu, which means a sense of rushing, of running away from himself, out of himself, to try to connect to that which is much higher than him and that which is much greater than him. But that's not the person's job in this world. The job in this world is to create a dwelling for Hashem, to bring those lights down. And in fact, even in a person's own avodah, it's explained in Chassidus that if a person in davening, if a person is very inspired in davening, and he experiences this great rush of going out of himself and trying to connect to God in godliness, and it's brought in Chassidus that if he doesn't afterwards, after davening, if he doesn't sit down and learn and do mitzvahs in order to create vessels to channel that great light that he was connecting to in davening, it can actually lead to negative things. It can actually lead to anger and annoyance with other people, because he's inflamed, he's impassioned from his davening, and he didn't channel that, he didn't bring that down into Torah and mitzvahs. So what happens is it ends up manifesting as something negative. So what's the answer? The answer is, as it's brought in also in Kabbalah and Chassidus, that in Ratz Libcha Shuv La'achad, that you have to, after Ratz, you have to have Shuv. It's not enough to feel this rush to want to connect to these lofty divine revelations. You have to bring them down into vessels. Shuv means where, just like a person is standing in front of the king and he becomes completely bottle, he becomes completely negated, and his whole existence is only about doing what the king wants, and it's not about his own feelings and his own sense of wanting to get close to the king. So that's the same thing. When a person experiences this rush and this connection to this very great lofty spiritual light, so here's to tell you, his job is to afterwards be involved in Torah study especially in order to bring those lights down into vessels. And in fact, so we know that these two directionalities, the desire to go out of yourself and come close to God, and then the opposite directionality, which is to desire to bring godly light down into the world, are associated with the divine attributes of Chesed and Gvura, which Chesed is the divine inclination to reveal light down here. Gvura is the divine inclination towards withholding and retreating and the tendency of the light to reach higher rather than to come down. So how do you fuse these two things? How do you connect to the higher lights and yet at the same time bring them down? So there's the third divine attribute, which is the attribute of Teferis. The Teferis is a combination of Chesed and Gvura, through Teferis, and that's why it says in Chassidus that how do you accomplish the Ratz of Vishuv? You accomplish it through, like, after davening is the time of Ratzu. How do you bring about that the Ratzu should lead to a Shuv? It's through the study of Torah. And the study of Torah is specifically associated with the attribute of Teferis, which is high, which anything that has the ability to fuse two things together has to be higher than both those things, because the source of Teferis is higher than Chesed and Gvura, therefore it has the capacity to fuse together Chesed and Gvura. It's the study of Torah, and especially the study of Torah as it is with Bittl. Because again, you have to, the way that you fuse two opposing traits is by the revelation of something much higher than them, which negates their individual characteristics. And we know that, as we say in davening, we say v'nafshi ka'afa l'akel tiyeh, my soul should be like dust to all. And immediately following, we ask p'sach libi b'seira secha, because the Rebbe explains that in general, the bittul, being bittul like afar, is the source of all good things in life. It opens up a person, makes a person a vessel to all good things in life, especially, including and especially, the light of Torah. But it's interesting that the Rebbe emphasizes that it's not just specifically for Torah itself. Bittul is something, the bittul being like dust that everybody tramples on is actually the vessel for all good things in life, which is just an interesting aside, which the Rebbe mentions in a footnote. I'm saying the perception that most people have is that if you want to get anywhere in life, you want to be successful, you want to get anywhere in life, you can't let people step on you. You can't let people trample on you. You have to stand up for yourself. You can't let people take advantage of you. The fact is, if you go in any bookstore that has a self-help section, which is very popular in recent years, there's a whole genre of books which deal with how to stand up for yourself, how to make sure people don't step on you, people don't take advantage of you. It's a whole section just dealing with that issue. If you fail, if you want to be successful, you have to be. So the Rebbe says, actually, the Rebbe says the other way, that we daven, that v'nafshi ka'afa l'akel tiyeh, God, please make me feel like dust. So that, what does it mean to be like dust? Be like dust means that that you're perfectly comfortable and fine with everybody trampling on you. You're not... Obviously, when it comes to Inyanim of Torah Mitzvahs and Kedusha, it doesn't mean that you're a wallflower. It doesn't mean that you don't stand up for what's right. Of course you stand up for what's right. But in terms of your interactions with others, when it's about you, the point is that when it's about... The less the less your life is about you, the more you open yourself up to all the blessings. But primarily the point here that the Rebbe is bringing out is the idea that it's through Torah that we have the ability to actually connect to the loftiest lights and to bring them down into this world. So, and the Rebbe goes on to say, he speaks about the mission at the beginning of Pirkei Avos. The Rebbe says that why does it starts off Rebbe Omer? Why does it start with the name Rebbe? And the mission immediately following it calls him Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So why does it, in this mission, why does it call him Rebbe? And why does it say what's the path that a person should choose? What do you mean what's the path that a person should choose? There are many verses that say that the paths of God are straight. The paths of the referring to Torah Mitzvahs. What other path is there that? And then what's his answer that you should do anything that's a teferis? That's a teferis to the one who does it. It's a teferis to those who observe what's being done. So the Rebbe explains that he said that the Gemara says that Mashiach is called Chivra de Bei Rebbe. He's considered the Mitzvah of the house of Rebbe. That's what he's called in Golos. So the Rebbe explains why he's called a Mitzvah. Again, it's this idea that he represents his very lofty lights. And that's his job, is to bring these very lofty lights of the Tzaras down into this world, which is the same process of Golos. But in that same Gemara, the Gemara goes on and the Gemara discusses who Mashiach is. Gemara says that they would had a discussion who Mashiach is. So one of the things it says in the Gemara that Rav says that if it's from the living, then it's like Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It's like Rebbe. So there's two different explanations of Rashi, but in one of the explanations of Rashi says if it's from the living, then it's definitely Rebbe, because he's an absolute chassid. And he suffers terribly from various pains and illnesses. So certainly, if it's from the living, it's Rebbe. And again, the Rebbe adds an interesting footnote. The Rebbe says that this coincides with the psak of the Rambam, that the Rambam says v'em yamid melech, meaning that he's already, before the Yamed, he was already a Melech. He doesn't say if someone becomes a Melech. He says if a Melech rises up, that means he's already a Melech. So that fits with this, because there's another explanation Rashi says that he's only citing Rebbe as an example of a possible candidate. But there's other explanation Rashi, Rebbe only brings the explanation Rashi says definitely him. If it's from the living at that time, it's definitely him. Rebbe says because why? This explanation that it's definitely him is like the Rambam says, because it has to be somebody who's already established as a leader. Can't be somebody that's. But anyway, so the Rebbe says that Rebbe Omer means Rebbe, who is that person who's the Mashiach. He's speaking as in his role as Rebbe, as Mashiach, and he's saying that what could you possibly do in order. So he's addressing the people who are living at the end of Golos, and he's saying, what is it that you need to do in order to finish the job? What's the path that a person should choose in order to complete the job of bringing the actual Golos? So the answer is the study of Torah, which is called Teferis, that through the study of the topics of Mashiach and Golos, that's how, and the Rebbe says very interestingly, the Rebbe adds in a point that he says, that the Rebbe says Ezi Derech Sheyavlei HaAdam. We said that the Rebbe explains about the material. Why does it say Adam? He was talking about a person that's on a very high level, to the point that he's completely perfected himself, and the only thing he has remaining is these totally superficial external blemishes. So the Rebbe says that we could say, so same thing. Rebbe is addressing that person, and he says that. The Rebbe is addressing in our generation that we have already completed We have already ended and completed all the work that needs to be done throughout the period of Golos. So the Rebbe says, Yeshloimar, Shekol B'nei Yisrael Heim B'dargazu. We could say that every single Jew is on this level, on the level of the perfect man who has already completed and perfected himself entirely, and the only thing that's left is the external superficial blemishes that are a byproduct of Golos. And it's this person that the Rebbe is addressing when he says, what's the Eitzah? What do you do? So the Rebbe says that by studying Torah on the subjects of Inyan and Mashiach and Geula, that's how you actually complete the process. So he explains also, what's the reason, why is it that Torah is the most direct path, the straight path to bring about the actual revelation and bringing of Mashiach. So here, all of a sudden, the Rebbe starts using, throughout, the Rebbe starts using the term, in the beginning, the Rebbe was talking about bringing Mashiach, and here, the Rebbe is talking about his galus and havaras HaMashiach. To bring about the revelation and the coming of Mashiach, the Rebbe says, what's the reason? Another reason to why, to understand the reasoning why Torah is the most direct way. So the Rebbe says that we know that in Mashiach himself, there are two aspects. Mashiach is a king, and Mashiach is also a Rav, he's also the one who teaches Torah. The difference between a king is that a king, his influence on the people is in a way of makif. His influence on the people is in a way of like an encompassing light. He's removed from the people and he gives orders, he gives instructions, he gives... So yes, all of the people are connected to him and he takes care of all the people, but so it's explained to Chassidus that this alludes to the aspect of Mashiach, that he brings down these very lofty, encompassing lights. What's the role of a Rav? A Rav is someone who teaches Torah. Someone who teaches Torah. That Torah is something that not only you internalize, but we say that to someone who teaches someone else Torah, it's as if he gave birth to him. That so much becomes a part of you that it's as if he made you. Because that's the degree to which it's internalized. So the Rebbe says, how the fusion of the two, Melech and Rav, which is Makif and Panimi, these higher lofty lights, and the internalization of these higher turning lights, is this same idea, that the very lofty lights that are higher than vessels are being brought down into vessels. So the Rebbe says, how do we accomplish this? We accomplish this with the power of Torah. That's the power of Torah. That's what Torah does. So the Rebbe goes on, there's a number of points, again, that was connected with the month of Nisan and the month of Iyar. And the Rebbe also connects it with the sphere of Malchus of Tiferes. And again, these are all very important points. Can't get to all of them. But basically, the response that the Rebbe is really giving here is that all the questions that people have on the topic of Mashiach and Geula is basically has to do with the fact that you're approaching the whole thing all wrong. If you would be approaching the whole thing right, then all the questions you wouldn't have the questions in the first place because the answers would be obvious. Your whole approach, we said, the whole basis of all the questions really starts from the fact that we have this perception of ourselves as, and it's not completely wrong, but we have this perception of ourselves as we are the lowest generation, we are the lowest people in the lowest generation. And all the earlier generations were on much higher spiritual levels than we are. And therefore, who are we to be, what does it mean that it's our job? How could you give us the job? Where do we even have the ability to do the job? And why is it that it's not for the Rebbe to do, it's for us to do? And so on. The Rebbe says that if you actually would, and the way that Rebbe put it here is this idea that this very lofty person that the Rebbe is describing as the Metzera, that the Rebbe says, Yesh Leimer, that all the Jews in our generation are on this level because we've already completed all the work that has to be done till now. The whole point is that the question is, when you look at yourself, what is the part that's you, and what is the part that's just an expression of your external circumstances? Right? Every time a person any time a person spends any time and effort at any kind of self introspection, the first thing you have to determine is what's me, and what's and what is only an effect of my outside environment. Right? You have to be able to know the difference. If you don't know the difference between what are the things, what's you, and what's what about you is only an expression of your outside environment, you can't even begin to work on yourself, to improve yourself, to change yourself, to correct yourself, to do anything. If you don't know what's you and what's the result of your situation. What the Rebbe is saying is that this idea that you have of yourself as being the lowest people of the lowest generation, the Rebbe says, all that stuff is actually not you. You're coming along after the work of all the previous generations. Because of all the work of all the previous generations and what they've accomplished, actually, the you part is actually already perfected. All what you see as all the negative, that's only totally, completely superficial, and that's only a manifestation of Golos and the situation that you're in. So it never turns the whole basis of Chassidus when you start, you open a Tanya and you read the first chapter of Tanya. The first chapter of Tanya is who are you? It's the whole beginning of Tanya is to explain who are you, and then how do you get in touch with the real, real you, your innermost? How do you get in touch with your soul, your real you? So the Al Rebbe explains that the you is no good. Yeah, you have a few good qualities, but basically, the being that you know as you is just no good. But you should know that deep, deep down, you have a neshama, and we have this whole system of Torah mitzvahs, and I'm going to show you how you can reveal your neshama and how you can correct the part of you that's just no good with a few good qualities. So that's your basic approach to Avodas Hashem. I mean, that's Tanya's your basic guidebook to how you're supposed to relate to yourself and how you're supposed to relate to the world. And by the way, don't be a fool and think that you're anything like the Big Tzaddik. The Big Tzaddik is somebody that his real self is his neshama, and his animal soul is just this thing that tags along. But you, your real you, you're an animal. That's who you really are. If you ever want to get in touch with the real you, then you have to follow this whole lengthy process. There's actually a short way to get in touch with the energies of your soul, and this. But if you really want to get in touch with your soul, you have to go through this lengthy, lifelong process of getting in touch with the real you. The Rebbe says, though, at the point that we're holding now, it's exactly the opposite situation. The real you is perfect. It's already been perfected, not because through your efforts, but through the efforts of all the previous generations that came before you. The real you has already been perfected. Anything that you have to deal with and struggle with is only, you should know, entirely external and superficial to you, and it's only a manifestation of the state that you're in, which is in a state of goals. And even that, you should know, is not because Golos is this terribly lowly state. It's because of the tremendously lofty lights that God wants to transmit to you. And he's just waiting for you to create the vessels to receive that light. So until you've done that and created the vessels to receive that light, so what you're experiencing is this great, tremendous, divine revelation. You're experiencing it as these external, superficial, negative things. So the Rebbe comes along and the Rebbe turns the whole thing on its head. All your questions are based on the fact that you're looking at the world, which you're not wrong for looking at the world that way, because that's how it says in Tanya, that's how he sets it up, that you're basically just, it says you have to figure out, are you a cow, are you an ox, are you a sheep, are you a goat? The question is which animal you are. But the fact is you're an animal. When you say I, You mean me the animal. That's what says in Tanya. When the tzaddik says I, he means the neshama. When you say I, you mean moo. Just a more sophisticated way of saying moo or ba, whatever it is. But that's who you are. As long as the Rebbe says, no, it's not. That's the old model, and that's already been taken care of. No thanks to you. That was already taken care of by all the people who came before you, all the work, all the Mesidus Nefesh, all the suffering, all the whatever it is, however that was handled, that's already been taken care of. Everything, all the negativity that you know and you see and you experience is all entirely external and superficial. And in fact, it's the only thing that's missing is for you to reveal that it's all light. It's not darkness. It's light that doesn't have a vessel yet. So your whole job is Iris to tell you and Kalem to tick. And your whole job is to look at everything in the world that you see around you. Anything that you see as a negative in the world around you is an opportunity, is a light that needs to be revealed in a vessel that's waiting to be revealed in a vessel. That's what it is. So the way we bring lights into vessels, that a Jew has the power to bring lights into vessels, is through Torah. And the same thing that Rebbe says, that Rebbe goes on to say, Rebbe is a fascinating thing. Later he talks about the sphere of Malchus, of the Teferis, that the Rebbe says, the Rebbe discusses the idea of opposition, that the Rebbe says like this, the Rebbe says that since the Melech is the essence of the entire nation, so it's impossible and he's the life of the entire nation, it's impossible that the people could be opposed to the Melech. People can't be opposed to the Melech because you can't be opposed to your own life. It's you. It can't be. So any opposition that appears is only external and superficial. There's no real opposition because you can't be opposed to your own existence. And the Rebbe says not only that, the world, not only can't the people be opposed to it, the world can't oppose redemption either. Because the entire existence of the world is dependent on redemption, because the Gemara says the whole world was not created except for Mashiach. So it comes out that the opposition of the world is also only superficial, only external, and the only way to negate it is, by the way, to reveal the true nature of the world. And the true nature of the world was created and exists only for Mashiach. So the Rebbe says all the questions that come from a person has a question. The question is, What does it mean? Why do I need to know who Mashiach is if I need to do the work? That is the work. The work is to bring the revelation of Melech into Rav, to internalize, right? What's your problem with it? Your problem with it? It seems too high. So that's the job. The job is, I'll talk to people that the Rebbe is Mashiach. It's something that's above them. It's beyond them. They can't relate to it. That's the problem. Exactly, that's the job. The whole job is that everything you see as a negative is only a great divine light that you can't relate to because you didn't bring it down into Kalim. You brought it down into vessels. You brought it down into through the study of Torah. The Torah, it makes it possible to internalize, to understand, to appreciate, to relate to those things that are beyond your understanding and beyond your capacity to appreciate, understand, and relate. So all the questions are all starting from the fact that you're starting with that you're still trying to do the work of trying to change yourself from the inside out, which means you're trying to change yourself from the inside out because you're starting with a cow, you're starting with a goat, you're starting with a sheep, and you're trying to turn this into a shtickle mensch. It's a big job. It's a big job. It's a lifetime work. You have to work yourself on the inside out. Lofty lights, yes, it's important to know that they're out there, it's important to know they exist, it's important to try to connect to them occasionally, but that's not really your main job. All the explanations of Chassidus about lofty lights is you need to have the awareness that there's something higher if you want to get this ox to change. And obviously, you have to make him aware that there's something higher than him, there's something bigger than him, there's something beyond him, there's something beyond just sticking your face in the trough and filling your stuffing your face. Okay, so you have to. Fine, you need to know about those higher things. You need to, on some level, relate to, connect to those higher things. You need to strive for higher. But still, your main job is trying to fix yourself from the inside out. So I fix the whole world. What am I fixing the whole world? I got to fix myself. What am I fixing? Who am I? What am I? What are you talking about? How does an ox or a goat or a sheep bring the geula? It's not. The Rebbe says, you have it all backwards. Because, you know, Mashiach is coming to tell you. Mashiach himself is coming to tell you that's not the point where we're at this point. The point where we're at this point is, from the inside out, the inside is you're starting with the inside is fine. The problem is the outside. That's where all the problems. All the problems come from, all the problems exist, all the problems originate, all the problems only exist from the outside. And you're being influenced from the outside in. Your negative perception of yourself, your negative perception of the world, your negative perception of everything and anything is coming from the outside in. It's not you. It's not where you're at. That's not where the world is at. That's not where reality is at. That's all coming from this outside, and even that only originates from the highest levels of the greatest lights and the highest levels of holiness, except that they don't have proper vessels yet. So your job is, that's your job. Your job is to take that which is higher than you and bring it down and internalize it and embrace it in your consciousness, that your consciousness should catch up with your reality. Your consciousness is still stuck in the gullus way of seeing yourself and the gullus way of seeing the world. What you need to do is turn it around the other way. It's not you need to fix yourself from the inside first, and then maybe a little bit you'll be able to connect to something a little higher than yourself. The point is that this the revelation of Mashiach and who Mashiach is the revelation of that which is higher than you, and is telling you that this is what you need to bring into your life. That's where you're at, the point where you need to bring that, internalize that. You need to embrace that reality rather than still be working and struggling with the old gullus reality. That's not where we're at, and that's not what our job is now. Our job is to know that Mashiach is here, and Mashiach is a king and a teacher. As a king, he's bringing down the greatest revelations. When he says, I've done all that I can, doesn't mean that, and therefore we're at square one. No, we're at this last square. The problem with when you're at the last square is that I've already brought down all the Gevaldige revelations. I've even revealed myself. The problem is that you need to be a vessel. You need to make a vessel. You need to receive, absorb, internalize everything that I've already done. It's not that I can't, there's something missing here. The point is that the whole is saying the opposite point. Everything's already done means that everything's already here. And that's why you'll see in the latest sikhs throughout the next almost a year that Eva keeps explaining more and more how everything's already here and everything's already revealed. You just have to open your eyes and you just have to, and so on and so forth. All of these things that Eva's saying is that the key is what the job is turned over. Everything that you know till now is turned over on its head. And the job is to bring the revelations that are already here. It's all already here. And to bring them into your consciousness, to bring them into your life. And the way to do this is primarily, that I've emphasized in this surah, is through the study of the topic of Mashiach and Geula and Torah, to develop a Geula consciousness through Torah, through the study of Torah, through learning and understanding and internalizing these ideas as they're taught in Torah. That's how you internalize them. That's how you make them your reality. That's how you actually end up living and experiencing a world in which we have the full and complete revelation of Mashiach. Take it from Yad Mamash, let's say.